Okay, nice. Still to come on this week's Naked Scientist, we'll be finding out how some fish like salmon can survive in both salty and fresh water. But first, most of the secrets of the past are hidden underground. So the key to finding lost lands and historic remains is knowing where to dig. Well, now archaeologists have a number of clever tools to help them unearth what lies beneath without even going near a spade or a trowel, as Mira Senthilingham explains.
These days, when searching for ancient remains and hidden treasures, you don't need to have the magical map where X hits the spot, as you can now see into the ground using the powers of geophysics to find X for yourself. So this week, I'm in Leighton Buzzard in Bedfordshire to find out how to hunt for ancient remains myself. And here to help me is Chris Leach, geophysicist and director of Geomatrix Earth Sciences Limited.
Geophysics is really the science of trying to find what is down below the ground without actually having to dig a hole. We're looking for changes in the physical properties of the ground. If you've got a 10-hectare site that you're interested in, that you think there might be archaeology underneath it, you're going to have to dig an awful lot of holes in the ground if you don't do any geophysics first to really find out what's there. With the geophysics, it allows you to very rapidly, relatively cost-effectively, narrow down the areas which are really of great interest to the real archaeologists.
So what are the techniques used?
There are several techniques which are useful for archaeological geophysics, and we tend to look for the magnetic signatures of the ground, we tend to look for the electrical properties of the ground, and also we use the growing technique of ground-penetrating radar, therefore looking at the electromagnetic properties of the ground.
Well, the equipment that you have strapped to yourself here is basically a horizontal pole with two vertical poles attached on either side, and a rucksack that's strapping you into it, really. So which technique does this piece of equipment use?
This is a magnetometer. Therefore, we're actually measuring very, very precisely changes in the Earth's magnetic field at this point. The two vertical poles are actually two separate magnetometers, so we can measure the Earth's magnetic field in two places at the same time. And the horizontal pole you described feeds data back into a small data logger. By having two magnetometers, we can speed up our operation. We can acquire two lines of data right at the same time.
So how does a magnetometer actually measure the magnetic field beneath it?
Each of the tubes, which we mentioned earlier, contains two fluxgate sensors, and these measure very, very precisely the Earth's magnetic field in the vertical component. And by measuring it in two different places, we can get a measure of the change in the magnetic field over that distance. In this instrument, it's 1 meter between each sensor. So we're measuring the vertical gradient of the Earth's magnetic field in two places simultaneously.
How does this actually then translate to tell you where things are located?
All materials have got a magnetic signature, be it different types of soils or man-made objects such as bricks or artifacts of some description. And if we can measure the magnetic field with sufficient accuracy and sufficient resolution as we go over the ground, we can see very small changes in the Earth's magnetic field.
So you have this magnetometer set up and strapped on, ready to go. So what's the next step to take a reading from this field that we're in?
Well, we've got our grid set out. We're at our starting point, so all I need to do is press go.
OK, so what's happening now?
We can see the data being acquired on the screen. We can see the numerical values being displayed. And the beeping that you can hear is just telling us that the instrument is working. Every time it takes a reading, we get the beep.
How do you go from scanning an area to then producing an entire map pinpointing the hotspots of where's good to dig?
The traditional way of doing it with archaeology is to divide your field up into a series of grids, which may be 20 or 30 metres square, and then you'll walk up and down lines, maybe 1 or 2 metres, or if it's a high-resolution survey, 0.5 metre apart, and so on, creating these grids until you've covered the whole area. The more modern way of doing it is to use GPS, in which case you don't have to lay out your grids. The GPS will navigate you up and down lines. Once we have covered that, we can then take the data back to our office, and using a mapping program, we can then produce a map in various styles which highlight various different archaeology or soil types if you're doing geoarchaeology, for example. Once we've got a map, we can start to see patterns emerging. We're obviously going to get a lot of background clutter, which would just be natural occurring rocks and other pieces of what I would call junk, which may be things like nails that have fallen off people's shoes or horseshoes, for example, or beer bottle cans, etc., etc. These little things you can't really see when you're out in the field. You can't tell them whether they're real archaeology or whether they're man-made rubbish. But once we make a map out of them, we can tell one from the other.
OK, so out in the field, I just need to stick to my grid and record regular measurements to cover the whole area. So I'm off to hunt for some treasure.
As Mira Senthilingam with Chris Leach from the Geomatrix Earth Sciences explaining how buried objects can affect the Earth's magnetic field, and if you can detect those changes, then you can also tell where to dig. Incidentally, on the subject of this kind of thing, Mike in Cambridge got in touch about our dating methods question, and he says don't forget also about thermoluminescence, which you can use for pottery, that's another way of doing it, also obsidian hydration and uranium trail dating, where you observe the trails left behind by uranium decomposition. So thanks, Mike.
Wow.